This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The reviews are in on George W. Bush's State of the Union address, and they overwhelmingly point out that the content of speech didn't exactly square with reality. The New York Times was quick to point out that the speech, which is by tradition nonpartisan, amounted to not much more than a kickoff to his 2004 election campaign. The Associated Press analysis notes that much of what Bush proposed in the speech will be hampered by the specter of quickly rising deficits. Other reports point out that Bush's comments on unemployment, the economy, and the situation in Afghanistan stand at odds with the reality on the ground, and that complex realities were often boiled down into simplified rhetoric. Bush's address was delivered against the backdrop of a Washington Post-ABC News poll showing that more Americans trust Democrats to effectively handle looming domestic issues. And notably absent in the speech was last week's announcement of Bush's Mars initiative. The Baltimore Sun said in an editorial that the lack of mention was due to the fact that the idea did not fare well with focus groups. Democratic reaction to the speech was swift and harsh. Wesley Clark, a leading presidential hopeful, compared the administration to the axis of evil, a phrase Mr. Bush coined himself in a previous address to describe states threatening the United States. Senator John Kerry, meanwhile, fresh from a surprise victory in Monday's Iowa Democratic caucus, accused Mr. Bush of doing nothing while the U.S. lost more jobs than at any time since the Great Depression in 1929. And House of Representatives Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi said in the Democrats' official reply to his speech that Mr. Bush had led the U.S. into war in Iraq based on unproven assertions and incurred huge costs now being met by American taxpayers. A missile landed in the sprawling U.S. compound in central Baghdad late Tuesday, a U.S. spokesman said. Officials were investigating a report that one person was wounded. The projectile, believed to be a rocket, hit near the Al-Rashid Hotel, said the spokesman, speaking on condition of anonymity. The missile caused a loud explosion heard as far as 2 miles away at about 9:30 p.m., and immediately sirens were activated in the compound known as the Green Zone. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A tiny Scottish firm has teamed up with a U.S. company to start the first industrial-scale production in America of Scotland's national dish, haggis. The partners believe the joint venture with a Chicago-based food processor can move 300,000 tins of the offal-based delicacy in its first year. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
One reason we know that Saddam Hussein is a bad guy, as George W. so eloquently describes him, is that George himself has told us again and again that in the 1980s, old Saddam engaged in the horror of chemical warfare against the Kurds in his own country and against the Iranians. This is inhumane, Bush noted, so that's why the American government needed to oust Saddam and take over Iraq. But which government was it that had helped build up Saddam's military and had winked at the very chemical weapons that the Bush administration now condemns? Yes, the American government, then headed by Ronald Reagan. And which American official was sent to Iraq back then to give Saddam a hug and assure him that a little poisonous gas wouldn't get in the way of the warm, fuzzy feelings that our government had for him? Donald Rumsfeld, now the Pentagon chief, who has also been wailing about how awful Saddam was to use those nasty weapons. Newly released documents from the National Security Archive show that, because of American, quote, business interests in Iraq, the Reagan government wanted Saddam to win his ongoing war against Iran. But in 1984, world leaders began to criticize Saddam's almost daily use of poisonous gas against the Kurds and Iranians, and, under pressure, the U.S. was forced to issue a public condemnation of this use. But documents show that Rumsfeld was secretly dispatched in 84 to tell Saddam that our condemnation was strictly about the general principle of anyone using such weapons, not specifically about his gassing of Kurds and Iranians. And, wink, wink, that our government's top priority was not to stop the gassing, but, quote, preventing an Iranian victory. In short, Rumsfeld told Saddam to do what he had to do and pay no mind to the U.S.'s public pronouncements about the horror of chemical warfare. This is Jim Hightower saying, today's feigned outrage looks silly in light of yesterday's complicity in the horror.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Good day to everybody. Tom Hartman not in for one more day. Rama Schneider sitting in for him. I think actually Tom is, after listening, being forced to listen to the Bush's kickoff of his political campaign speech last night, I think now he's being forced to attend a suck-up meal at the White House so that the White House can give their spin of just how positive and great and visionary President Bush really is. So, you know, if you get time during one of these commercial breaks, I really would suggest a moment of silence for consideration of Tom and to hope that he can make through and come back up here to Vermont and fill you folks in on what's going on. And because of that now, we're really not going to touch on Bush's campaign speech from last night. I'm going to leave that for Tom. That would be awful rude from me, don't you think? Let him go down to Washington, do all this hard work, coming up with all this understanding and insight, because he was down there personally, only to find out that Rama, the fill-in host, you know, the temp, to find out that Rama had already covered all the subject for him. So I'm not going to do that, because actually I want him to let me back on the air again at some future time. So, you know, along with my gratuitous and obsequious rear-end kissing that I do on Tom, I also try to make sure that I don't undercut his show. You know, that would be awful rude. Anyway, for all you folks that are joining in, this is the Tom Hartman Show, the nation's largest, and we do mean the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show, being brought to you by Small Dog Electronics at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company at 1-888-ECO-WINE. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. And I do know my wife and her daughter each had they split a order of two bottles from there, and they both say that it's good wine, and these are people that know what they're talking about. So beyond that, I'm not going to say. I don't drink alcohol, so I can't tell you. Okay. Oh boy, I used to drink alcohol, but that's why I don't now. All right, hey, let me get on. We have a guest this hour, and then the second hour, we're really going to have it wide open for the second hour, so we can have a lot of fun. There's some really great things to talk about, including I want to stroke Tom's ego. OpEdNews.com has a really great article on him. And then the third hour, we have a guest coming up. But starting this hour, let me just read something from Senator John Edwards, Senate.gov website.
Payroll growth was minuscule in December when the jobless rate stood at 5.7%, the Labor Department reported. President Bush can't sweep under the rug the fact that more than 8 million people are hunting for work and there just aren't enough jobs, Senator John Edwards said. Payrolls grew last month by a scant 1,000 jobs, revising rosier earlier estimates. The Labor Department also said there were 51,000 fewer jobs created than they previously reported for October and November. Economists also noted that the small decrease in the unemployment rate last month was mainly due to the fact that fewer people were looking for work. So it's kind of like I don't want to leave you folks feeling hopeless about all of this. So I went looking around, and I was very fortunate to find this gentleman named Dan St. Louis with the Hosiery Technology Center in Hickory, North Carolina. And real quick, for more than 13 years, the Hosiery Technology Center has focused on the needs of manufacturing operations in North Carolina. The center was created in 1990 when the hosiery industry employed some 36,000 people. There was a critical shortage of trained technicians who could make the transition from mechanically driven equipment to that which was developed for computer technology. Training and retraining production personnel was the focus of the center. And on that note, the director of the Hosiery Technology Center from North Carolina, Mr. Dan St. Louis. Hello, Mr. St. Louis.
Hello, Rama. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, this is great. This is really excellent. And I just want to let folks know a couple things here, and then we'll get on into the topic. Number one, Dan, can I call you Dan?
Sure.
Okay. And I won't call you late for dinner. Okay. God, that's a horrible joke. Why do they let me say this? There should be a sign in front of me, no stupid jokes, Rama. Dan, first of all, he does not want to talk partisan politics, ladies and gentlemen. So if you call in with a question, comment, suggestion, anything else, please, no partisan politics. Let's be respectful of my guest. And second of all, the reason why I got you, Dan, is because you folks seem to look at non-government-driven answers to problems here, and in this particular case it has to do with the hosiery industry in North Carolina. So if I could ask three things of you right now. First, a quick description of the Hosiery Center, a quick description of yourself, and then a quick description of the job situation down in North Carolina.
Okay, sure, I'll be glad to. Like you said earlier, we were started for from the industry to try to help the industry to go from mechanically driven machines to new electronic machines, because everything had changed in the mid 80s. All of a sudden, when I think back to my high school days and stuff, and back when basically you had two kinds of socks. You had black socks that you went to church in, and white socks that you played ball in, and that was pretty much it.
Well, I'm still like that, Dan.
Now everything's so, now you've got golf socks, cycling socks, you got socks to do virtually anything out there, plus you've got, all of a sudden, they became a fashion item, and now instead of black, well, now you had to have the socks had to match the skirts, and you had fashion items and everything, so all of a sudden everything got a lot more complicated for us.
Wow.
And we spent the first 5 or 6 years concentrating on that. But then really as an industry in 95, we started seeing it coming with NAFTA and some of the competition from overseas. We were in pretty good shape up to that point. And then we started getting all this competition. So we had to start looking at it from an industry perspective. What are we going to do to stay in business, and how are we going to handle all the new competition that's coming from overseas? And this led us into a number of different things. If you looked at the center even 3 years ago versus what we're doing now, it's completely different. We were probably 80% training at that time. Now we're probably 80% market development and 20% training. And that 20% is how do you position your company to sell more socks and shears? And we've now have branched out nationally, and we work with the whole hosiery industry. Our competition isn't over the mountain, say, it's overseas, and that's where we really concentrate on.
Okay, Dan, let me interrupt real quick because I noticed somebody in the chat room. And by the way, if you want to get in the chat room with some really great, intelligent people, you go to tomhartman.com, folks, and click on the link that says chat room, and it'll take you on over there. And I just want to, because apparently maybe I put something wrong. SmileMaker says, Rama, are you serious? Why don't you let people call in with their responses? And please, by all means, folks, feel free to call in with your responses, suggestions, questions, whatever you have. I'm just trying to point out Dan does not want to play partisan politics, which is a favorite game on this show, Dan. So I got to tell these people that. We love partisan politics here. So I'm more interested in what you guys are doing with the Hosiery Technology Center, and you know, and because you and I had talked about it, and you had specifically asked not to be partisan politics, right?
Right, right, and you know, basically, we're from the center standpoint, we're just trying to help the hosiery industry compete, and we'll take help from both sides, but. You know, we've got to do a lot of different things, and we work with a lot of partners that we have that help us.
Well, tell me, can you give me some example for us to start with as far as a discussion as to what you guys do and how it's helped?
Okay. Pretty much when you look at the problems facing our industry, and I think it would really match up if you have a lot of your audience has manufacturing and stuff in there. I think they would recognize these are very similar, but you know, our product lines are not a lot more difficult to make now. The you know, you've got retail consolidations. You know, we went from over 200 retailers that, you know, had a large percentage of sales, to now, you know, you've got five major retailers that control 60% of the market. So you've got less folks you can sell to. They're requiring quicker deliveries, better quality at lower costs. You know, now we've got trade agreements that came through that weren't really favorable to U.S. manufacturing. So we have to deal with that and deal with countries that don't play by the rules, you know, that we have here. So you've got, you know, our labor costs are higher and everything, and really you look at it from an industry perspective, and if you're a mill owner, you got to look at, what do I do? Do you just give up? Do you ride it out till it becomes unprofitable, or you know, do you source goods from overseas and hope they don't figure out who you're selling to, or do you try to do something else? And that's where we try to come in and try to help them think through what are your options. You know, it's not all gloom and doom. It's not, you know, there are some things you can do in this economy.
Right, without just giving up and going off into the hills somewhere and hunting deer for the
exactly.
rest of
your life. Yeah. Because the easy thing is to say, I'm just going to go overseas. But you know, there's some warts in that one, too.
All right, let me start from the management side, and then I want to get around to the worker side. And Lou from our chat room had a question. He was wondering his question was specifically, how much do they sell to Walmart? And by he means the hosiery. You guys are just educational and assistance program.
Exactly. We don't sell anything. You know, we're part of the community college system. We're kind of an oddball. They don't know where to put us exactly, but we're part of the North Carolina Community College System, and we have two centers in North Carolina, but we also work with some of our federal funding to go outside of North Carolina, and because really we're trying to bring the whole industry together to compete as one large group, you know, versus some of the other countries in the world, because we really do have to focus on that.
Okay, speaking strictly at the management size now, because you guys deal with some small operations that I guess, for instance, in just-in-time operations, they often band together as a quick coalition and to fill a big order, right?
Exactly. That's, you know, one, when you look at our industry, we're made up of, we've got over 200 manufacturers, and 70% of them are less than 50 employees. Less than 50 employees, which means most of them are probably 25 or less. So, you know, they don't. And what happened to us in the mid 90s is, you know, the larger companies that the smaller guys were selling to started sourcing overseas. So now they had to go direct, and that's a hard thing to do.
Okay, Dan, we got to stop, take a break here for a commercial. We got some important commercial information. So if I could ask you just to hold on for a few minutes, we have a caller that wants to ask you about these jobs here, okay?
Sure.
Ram Schneider in for Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, that's right. You ain't seen nothing yet. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, who is down in Washington, I suspect, being abused by the White House with them trying to put some sort of a positive spin on George Bush's election kickoff speech that he gave last night in front of Congress. And so you've got me for today. And then tomorrow, and I'd like to say Tom Tomorrow, but that's already a copyrighted name of a comic. So we'll stick with tomorrow. It will be Tom again. In the meantime, gracious enough to join us for a little while, give us some of his precious time, is Mr. Dan St. Louis. He's from the Hosiery Tech Center of North Carolina, I guess. Well, now I keep forgetting which city. Hickory. Out of Hickory, North Carolina. And we're talking about the Hosiery Tech Center and reflection as to what people can do rather than just kind of roll over and die because you get put out of work. And we have a caller on the air for you, Dan. And before we do, there's one other thing I wanted to ask now. Because he's going to ask you about jobs. And right now there are still how many people employed in just hosiery companies in North Carolina?
We've got over 25,000 last count in
wow.
North Carolina, and then that doesn't include, you probably can double that just for the suppliers, the yarn and dyes and chemicals and things like that, packaging suppliers, and probably have close to 40,000 nationwide. So it's a pretty
wow.
big industry.
Okay, well, let's go to Jim. I guess he's a trucker. He's right outside of Toledo today. Come on in, Jim, and what's your question?
Yes, well, I've got a little. Let me bear with me here just a minute.
You got
it's apparent to me that we're going to the Walmartization of the country. He said a minute ago that there were six companies that dictate who has to do what. I believe the biggest one of those is Walmart. Number two, the president is coming out with this deal about bringing in illegals to take our jobs away, whatever jobs we've got left in this country. And so I guess my question is how long is it going to be before we won't have any damn jobs in this country? And are we going to a right-to-work country? I mean, is it going to be so, you know, if you don't work for $3 an hour, hit the damn street? So I guess I want to know, what's this guy's projection of when are we going to have any damn jobs in this country to buy the products that Walmart is importing from China, where all the jobs are? Thanks.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Jim. And Dan, let me break that into two separate parts because he put in one question I wanted to ask you about, too. So if you could first address the question is this outflow of jobs still continuing despite your best efforts? That would be my first question.
Yes, and that's one of the keys that I look at it from, if we don't have the jobs here, if we're not manufacturing something here in the States, whether it's hosiery or anything else, I feel like we're going to be in big trouble.
Right.
You need to be manufacturing something, and certainly we don't want wages to go down. I mean, we've worked hard to get them up to the level that they're at, and certainly that's not the where we want to head to. We don't want to head towards the 50 cents an hour or 20 cents an hour or whatever they're paying, because we know we're up against it. When you look at the wages, we're $11-$12 an hour, just for a beginning operator versus other countries are 20 to 50 cents an hour, and that's certainly something we got to avoid.
So we're talking about some high level, some pretty good paying jobs actually in this.
Yes, they
industry.
Are, and certainly we've lost some, and don't want to lose any more, and that's kind of where we're focusing on. How do we know that in order to keep those people employed, we've got to sell more socks and shears. We got to get our manufacturers to make it, and not just bring it in overseas. And that's that means you may have to make different products. You may have to go to different markets, different niches, different create new things. And we spend quite a bit of time on prototyping new products and R&D, that's become a huge section of what we're doing.
Okay, Dan, now I understand you have some limited time. Would you have a couple more minutes to spend with us?
I can spend whatever time you need.
Oh, that'd be excellent. Okay, we're going to stop and take another break. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Show. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom while he gets abused by the White House, I guess, today at some spin room. So we'll be right back, and so will you.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One radio journalist makes a show out of her distaste for waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Betsy Rosenberg had worked as a reporter for San Francisco radio station KCBS for over 13 years when she realized she wanted to report on more than just the day's events.
7 years ago, I decided I didn't like doing the news anymore. I just had a daughter and was beginning to think it was a time in my life that it was time to give something back and do something that was more meaningful and, frankly, less depressing than fires, floods, murder, and mayhem. And it was about that time that I had my environmental awakening.
Rosenberg said she had a waste prevention gene that had always caused her to disdain garbage. Her husband urged her to ask KCBS to create an environmental radio program. It would focus on recycling, energy conservation, and other environmental issues.
And I said, well, that'll be the day. They won't go for it. And they kind of did. They couldn't argue that we didn't need something like that, but there wasn't a lot of money to pay for it, so I basically do it as a nonprofit labor of love. But I love it, and it's been 6.5 years, 1,300 original green minutes later.
Rosenberg's radio spots, called EcoTalk, focus on practical ways to live more in tune with the environment.
Don't just lip it, live it. That's what I say. It's not going to do any good to talk about it. It's how you live your life. And granted, it's not easy to be environmentally friendly in our culture, but it's becoming easier, and it's critical. I don't think there's anything more important.
EcoTalk runs 9 times a week on KCBS in the San Francisco Bay Area. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. Rama Schneider sitting in for Mr. Hartman today. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk radio, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. On the phone with us, and gracious enough to take some time out of his day to share a little information with us, is Mr. Dan St. Louis from the Hosiery Technology Center in Hickory, North Carolina. And although socks themselves may not be of particular interest to people, certainly jobs and the future of jobs, and well-paying jobs in particular, in the United States of America is very, well, it's pertinent to all of us. You know, we all have to be careful. I know Tom's got me working in a sweatshop of sorts here. You know, I work for less than an overseas shoemaker, Dan. You know that? He's a slave man. He won't let me unionize with myself either. I tried to form a union. You know, I've got 100% agreement on it. He won't let me do it.
Which brings me to the bargaining table.
Well, that's just it. I thought about going on strike, but he said I won't be able to talk to the microphone anymore. So, busting my chops, man. Dan, let me. I bring up the unions though for a purpose. Where do unions fit in all of this?
Well, most of our manufacturers are they're based in really between Alabama, Tennessee, and North Carolina. We produce about 80-90% of all the socks made in the United States. It just, that's where it is, and there's not very many unions in the hosiery industry.
Yeah. Is there a reason for that, or I'm trying not to get into, you know, I'm not asking whether you approve of unions or not. I'm trying to avoid that partisan politics side. Is there a reason why? Is it because there's already the well-paying jobs, or are people just genuinely not interested, or is there pressure not to unionize?
Well, it's right. It really hasn't been a whole lot of pressure, particularly now. Everybody's just glad to have a job.
Yeah.
Our unemployment rate went from where in the last, one of the last 2 years, since I started the center in 1990, we were basically at negative unemployment. If you could fog the mirror, you could get a job. In the last 2 years, it's gone up as high as 10% just in our area, which was just unheard of. And it hasn't been just hosiery and furniture jobs, which is another large area in here. It was a high tech also that we lost quite a few in the fiber optics industry. So all of that has contributed.
Well, Charlotte, I hear, is a real hot city for growth right now, huh?
Charlotte does pretty well, and they're more in the banking.
Okay.
Yeah, they do really well.
Dan, why don't you give us some contact information if anybody down that way wants to get hold of the Hosiery Tech Center? How can they do it? Do you have a website, phone number, et cetera?
Sure. It's www.legsource.com. That's our website. And, boy, if you've got any good ideas, because we do a lot of prototyping just from people that have ideas, and a lot of times it's not from the industry. A lot of some of our biggest hits. In fact, we have one of the earliest ones was a lady from Vermont, Stafford. Yeah, she's done extremely well with it. She was hand knitting socks, and we figured out how to put it on a machine. Just wonderful stuff.
If I can just figure out how to stick a sock on a machine, I can make a bunch of money, huh?
Well, or if you got an idea, we've prototyped everything from foam pads and to filters to covers to. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a sock or shear. It could be some type of tubular fabric. We'll be glad to work with the machines and the different yarns and stuff to come up with whatever you're looking for, because that's the kind of things that you won't find at one of the top five or six retailers or something. We look for those kinds of things and try to find manufacturers to do it.
You make mention in the information you emailed to me that one North Carolina hosiery mill in danger of closing its business was able to secure a large retail sporting goods account this year that helped them stay in business.
Yes.
Is that a typical success story? Or?
Yeah, and we're building more and more of those because we've got to look at what is our advantage. You know, we try to work with manufacturers and the whole industry to look at, you know, strategically, where do you fit in the global picture? You know, how do you carve out a piece of the pie, you know, globally, and you know, not get stuck in the rut? Because we do have some advantages here. One, we're closer. You know, no matter how quick they can deliver from China, we're here.
Right.
You know, now, how do we take advantage of it? That's quick manufacturing, lean manufacturing, which are some techniques that we work with the Manufacturing Extension Partnership, which is available to everybody in the country, to help mills to do that. To take advantage of that. The other thing is technology. You know, we still have a technological edge on the type of yarns that we can get hold of, the newest things that come into the marketplace we get first dibs on. And so we need to take advantage of that and create something that, that you know, and just keep creating something new and different and try to stay ahead of the curve. And we also, the infrastructure that we've got, you know, our guys have all gotten used to working together. You pretty much, because of the type of products we make, you know, and most of the manufacturers were small. In order to make up a larger order, you had to work with each other. So you really didn't want to hack somebody off because you might need them later on. And two, they might be related also. So.
Well, let me break this down to a smaller level, because one of the economic issues I've always pushed is I love the concept of the small mom-and-pop shop. Now, you were talking about businesses with 50 or fewer employees, and that is small businesses, I understand. But when I think small, I think of mom-pop and a couple employees maybe working at a barn on their property or taking up half their house to do some sort of manufacturing or information technology, whatever it is. Do you work with people at that level, too?
Oh, exactly. Those are, in fact, we're working one right now. It's going to be very successful. And the goal is to, you know, how do we build them up to where instead of employing two or three, let's get them up to 10, you know, or more. Because what's nice about the smaller manufacturers is they're very agile. You know, and they don't have to worry about producing, you know, a 100,000 dozen to, you know, a week or something to keep it going. So if you can tie in these small guys and find the markets for them where, you know, and what we're finding as we go into the marketplace is that there's a lot of maybe smaller stores or smaller retail operations that are looking for new products, but you got to marry the two up, the smaller manufacturers, because the big manufacturer they don't want to deal with small dozens. And you typically can get a better price point, you know, if you have a little bit higher end product, and that's where we spend quite a bit of our time trying to do that. And then the other thing is just, you know, we work with them just to realize, hey, just don't get stuck in a rut, don't be doing the same thing, and stay in a little area, your own little world. You know, you got to get out and look around and see what else is out there.
And try something different. Boy, you know, that's a philosophy for life, Dan.
I mean,
not just business, boy, I tell you. Dan, I want to thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate you having me.
This is Dan St. Louis we've been talking to from the Hosiery Tech Center. And the phone number there, if folks are interested, he's out of North Carolina, 828-327-7000, right?
Yes.
And what was the website again?
It's www.legsource.com, LEGSOURCE, because I know most people can't understand my accent.
Well, you know what, though? It just occurred to me. I was sitting there looking at that web address. It's in front of me, and it finally hit me what's meant by leg source. You know, I was having a hard time putting socks and legs together.
Well, and the whole site, it was developed so that not just to tell about the Hosiery Center, that's a very small part of it. The whole purpose of the site is to help our guys do more business with each other, and it's
great.
And so the folks can find who makes what, and we've got areas where we post, you know, procurement opportunities, both federal and international, and in state and anywhere else for our guys to find it, plus a place for retailers to find, you know, who makes what kind of sock, and for the consumer to give us ideas. So, and we're getting almost 8,000 hits a day from 800 different users.
Oh, that's great.
So it's a pretty good business-to-business site.
All right. That's excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mr. St. Louis, for spending your time with us. I certainly appreciate that.
And I appreciate it myself.
You betcha. You have a great day.
Okay, you too. All right,
yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, that was Mr. Dan St. Louis from the Hosiery Tech Center. And what I was trying to get at with that, and I don't know, maybe I did a really, really cruddy job of it, but I'm trying to get at the idea that we don't just have to roll over and play dead when things start looking pretty tough. I've always been this one. Yeah, it's not when the going gets tough, the tough gets going thing. It's when the going gets tough, you got to do something. You know, I mean, sure, you could. Every one of you could look around and say, gee, the job market sucks, and then curl up somewhere in a fetal position. That works. It keeps you from having to look for a job. You know, you curl up and you starve and die. You know what occurs to me, though, and now I asked him about the unions, and I deliberately didn't want to push on this. Look, he was more interested. He wanted to talk about the Hosiery Center. I was trying to present the Hosiery Center as something that as something that we don't just have to let everything go overseas just because it seems like the easiest path to do. But it occurs to me that something like the Hosiery Technology Center could be a really good, great future for what unions can evolve into. In other words, imagine if the Hosiery Technology Center were the center of a universe for a union, that a union would help these businesses do everything the Hosiery Technology Center does, plus guarantee workers' rights and workers' compensation and all this other stuff. That would be, I mean, and unions do that to some degree. I understand that. But it's more of an idea that we don't have to roll over and play dead. You know, we're strong. We are woman. Hear us roar. Boy, I make an ugly woman. All right. Armand in Florida. Hello, Armand. How you doing today?
How are you?
I'm doing grand, sir.
I think that, first off, I don't know why. I've been wondering for years, in particular, pertaining to the unions. You know, why don't they all just get together? Because if all the unions in this country would form one super big union with everything in common, can you imagine the power they'd have now, even though they've moved a lot of manufacturing out?
Well, it's a possibility. You know, I haven't really thought.
And Bush, you know, the in my opinion, the criminal that he is, last night he had his State of the Union League message. If you read the book about the real Lincoln, read about the Union League,
right,
the secret fraternity of the wealthy.
Right.
So they ought to call that speech the State of the Union League, because primarily that's who it serves, the very wealthy.
Yeah.
And for the people out there that wonder about Kerry, if you go to RENSE.com, rents.com, R-E-N-E.
Okay.
RENSE.com.
Yeah.
You'll see John Kerry's top 10 contributors. You ought to see the who's who on there. It looks like a lot of law firms, banks, AOL, Time Warner, and guess what?
You've
heard this
what?
Name many times before. Goldman Henry. Sachs Group.
Who?
Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs? My gosh.
Yeah.
Wall Street.
Yeah.
Big
so,
time.
I mean, you know, and then you read on down, and it says that he created a committee to raise soft money.
Yeah.
And he raised $1.35 million in unregulated donations, and he spent $147,000 in Iowa in the last 2 years. So,
well,
you know,
okay.
I mean, Bush is terrible, but, you know, think about it. Here we have a guy that's not really, in my opinion, too capable intellectually, that is our sock puppet president, and he's got, in my opinion, a bunch of gangsters surrounding him. So, you know, would it be even worse? I don't want Bush, no way, but would it be even more frightening if we had somebody with some intelligence there with the same bunch of thugs and some new ones, too?
Well, Armand, you're scaring me, so I want to thank you for your call, okay?
But
yeah, all right, have a great day, yeah. Okay, I was feeling pretty happy thinking that I had some control over my life after talking to this guy from the Hosiery Technology Center, and here we go. Oh, well. This is out of our local newspaper, the Times Argus here in Vermont. And this is an article here. It's titled, New FM Radio Station Hopes to Air Over Mad River Valley Towns. Founded as a nonprofit group devoted to promoting sustainable agriculture and community, a local grassroots organization called RootsWork now is looking skyward for its next effort. By March, RootsWork hopes to launch a low-power radio station with the call signs WEW999. Anyway, bringing local voices and an eclectic mix of programs to Warren, Waitsfield, and some of the neighboring town and Faiston. We're talking about a really small group here. The station will be broadcast 12 hours a day, every day of the week, with live programs and local music. While farming and radio aren't an obvious link, the station would further RootsWork's goals. The connection is that they look at it as a community-building tool. RootsWork has about 40 active members and is allied with the local Grange. And for those of you that don't know about the Grange, it actually was originally formed around the farming industry. And once again, we get to the idea that if people sit down, look, government assistance, government help, government laws, rules, regulations are fine, but they have limits. And they also, in my opinion, they have limits as to how far we want to go with rules, regulations, laws, and assistance, because every time that we do one of those, of course, there's a trade-off. We have to, as individuals, give up a little bit. So searching for that midway point, looking for that midway point as to, you know, how much do we want to give up as a personal freedoms as opposed to how much do we need in order for us to function as a society. And this is all important stuff. This is all important. Working as groups, sometimes not using the government money or using as little as it can. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal Talk?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show. Rama Snyder sitting in for Tom as the poor guy gets assaulted by the White House. That's where I think he is. I think he's down at a suck-up breakfast right now, or lunch, or whatever, hearing, being forced, tied down and forced to listen to White House spin on the... whatever that speech was last night. A lot of people, okay, look, I'm being getting bitched at for not talking about the State of the Union speech last night. All right, after the top of the hour, we'll get to that. I did have some things to say about it. If it's really that important, all right, I had other things like comments and stuff, but okay, well, we will talk. But before we do, I just want to end this job night on, if you don't take your future in your own hands, if you sit there and wait for some boss or some major corporation or some government official to assure your future for you, this is what you got in store, okay? This was from sfgate.com. It's an article from January 9th. Economists largely agreed with the high-tech industry's outspoken defense of moving jobs to India and China, but noted this time the principle applies to a group unaccustomed to losing their jobs to overseas competition. Highly educated, highly paid white-collar workers in Silicon Valley. Comments made in Washington on Tuesday by Carly Fiorina, CEO of Palo Alto information technology giant Hewlett-Packard, and Craig Barrett, chief executive of Santa Clara chipmaker Intel Corp., drew an unusually strong reaction from workers who suggested the pair forfeit their own highly paid jobs to Chinese or Russian executives working for a quarter of their pay. Hey, to me, that sounds like a really great thing. Fiorina's statement that, quote, there's no job that is America's God-given right anymore, end quote, triggered particularly strong reaction. The pair spoke in Washington representing the Computer Systems Policy Project, a group of eight executives from the nation's top information technology firms. Maybe I should have started with that to get everybody's attention. Maybe that's where I should have started, but I'm going to end up with this, because what I had on there, we've got to sit there and stop sitting there and saying, oh, my God, some government bureaucrat won't help us. What are we going to do? Oh, my gosh, some corporation is going to move all of our stuff overseas. What are we going to do? There's answers out there. And sometimes they're not pleasant answers. And you know, sometimes they are genuinely really, really, really difficult to do. So, this is the point. Let's not roll over like a bunch of female dogs, subservient female dogs showing our soft underbellies. Let's stand up. If the big boys don't want to play in our economy, let's throw them out of our economy. I think that's a great answer. Rama Snyder sitting in for Tom Hartman and the Tom Hartman Radio Show. And, yes, we'll talk about the State of the Union address when we come back. Happy now? You got your way? You happy? Huh?
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
The
following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The reviews are in on George W. Bush's State of the Union address, and they overwhelmingly point out that the content of speech didn't exactly square with reality. The New York Times was quick to point out that the speech, which is by tradition nonpartisan, amounted to not much more than a kickoff to his 2004 election campaign. The Associated Press analysis notes that much of what Bush proposed in the speech will be hampered by the specter of quickly rising deficits. Other reports point out that Bush's comments on unemployment, the economy, and the situation in Afghanistan stand at odds with the reality on the ground, and that complex realities were often boiled down into simplified rhetoric. Bush's address was delivered against the backdrop of a Washington Post-ABC News poll showing that more Americans trust Democrats to effectively handle looming domestic issues. And notably absent in the speech was last week's announcement of Bush's Mars initiative. The Baltimore Sun said in an editorial that the lack of mention was due to the fact that the idea did not fare well with focus groups. A missile landed in the sprawling U.S. compound in central Baghdad late Tuesday, a U.S. spokesman said. Officials were investigating a report that one person was wounded. The projectile, believed to be a rocket, hit near the Al-Rashid Hotel, said the spokesman, speaking on condition of anonymity. The missile caused a loud explosion heard as far as 2 miles away at about 9:30 p.m., and immediately sirens were activated in the compound known as the Green Zone. A defense contractor that overcharged the military for helicopter parts could face a criminal investigation, a Pentagon official said Tuesday. Defense Department auditors have determined that Hamilton Sundstrand gave inaccurate and misleading information about the true cost of military helicopter parts, overcharging the military by millions of dollars. Pentagon Inspector General Joseph Schmitz is considering whether to launch a criminal probe of the United Technologies Corporation subsidiary, the Defense Department said, speaking on condition of anonymity. The company has not been contacted by the Defense Department's Criminal Investigative Service, but has said they will cooperate with any additional inquiry. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Microsoft Corporation indicated on Tuesday it might have overreacted to the website of Canadian teenager Mike Rowe, who had added the word soft to his name and registered the address microsoft.com. In November, Microsoft's Canadian lawyers demanded that Rowe change the name of his internet site, claiming copyright infringement. Rowe was forced to shut down his website on Monday after getting about 250,000 hits. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
One reason we know that Saddam Hussein is a bad guy, as George W. so eloquently describes him, is that George himself has told us again and again that in the 1980s, old Saddam engaged in the horror of chemical warfare against the Kurds in his own country and against the Iranians. This is inhumane, Bush noted, so that's why the American government needed to oust Saddam and take over Iraq. But which government was it that had helped build up Saddam's military and had winked at the very chemical weapons that the Bush administration now condemns? Yes, the American government, then headed by Ronald Reagan. And which American official was sent to Iraq back then to give Saddam a hug and assure him that a little poisonous gas wouldn't get in the way of the warm, fuzzy feelings that our government had for him? Donald Rumsfeld, now the Pentagon chief, who has also been wailing about how awful Saddam was to use those nasty weapons. Newly released documents from the National Security Archive show that, because of American, quote, business interests in Iraq, the Reagan government wanted Saddam to win his ongoing war against Iran. But, in 1984, world leaders began to criticize Saddam's almost daily use of poisonous gas against the Kurds and Iranians, and, under pressure, the U.S. was forced to issue a public condemnation of this use. But documents show that Rumsfeld was secretly dispatched in 84 to tell Saddam that our condemnation was strictly about the general principle of anyone using such weapons, not specifically about his gassing of Kurds and Iranians. And, wink wink, that our government's top priority was not to stop the gassing, but, quote, preventing an Iranian victory. In short, Rumsfeld told Saddam to do what he had to do and pay no mind to the U.S.'s public pronouncements about the horror of chemical warfare. This is Jim Hightower saying, today's feigned outrage looks silly in light of yesterday's complicity in the horror.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them?
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, no, here isn't Tom Hartman. Here's Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman, poor guy, is right now probably strapped to a chair down in the White House or somewhere being forced to listen to some god-awful spin on that speech last night. Okay, look, okay, get your grubby fingers over your phone, start dialing and stuff. We're going to get into it here for a little bit. Oh, you children, children, children. My gosh, can't you ever elevate your minds to talk about something intelligent? But no, no, it's got to be the State of the Union address. Okay, before we get into that, I've got to explain, because, look, the Tom Hartman Show is exploding. It's taking off. It's going all over, and not because of me, obviously. You know, it's because of Tom. I want to tell people, I honestly consider Tom a brilliant individual. And I say that you got to bear in mind, I have applied that word maybe to two or three people in the world, and I'm not one of those people. Tom Hartman's a brilliant individual. Tom Hartman is a fantastic author. As a matter of fact, I am an extremely well-read person. And Tom, in all honesty, I will say, as far as being writing and putting things in a fashion that can be well understood and wonderful descriptions, fact checking, researching, the whole nine yards, Tom Hartman is the best author I have ever read. And I mean that bar none, literally. I started when I was 13, 14 years old. I was reading The Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn. I was reading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by, Shearer or whoever his name is. You know, I have read classics. I have read modern authors. I've read a whole lot of stuff. So, you know, what you're going to hear from me talking about the State of the Union address is not what Tom's about, okay? Tom does much more research. I'm into the gratuitous name-calling. I love making up factions. I mean, I could have been a Republican consultant if I had been a less honest person, you know? Because I love just making up facts and throw them out there to, prove my case. Who the heck needs reality when we've got Republican consultants, huh? Okay. So, anyway. By the way, before we get to this, too, if you go to opednews.com, not right now, no, just wait a while, opednews.com, they have a fantastic article about Tom. Liberal talk radio explodes onto Clear Channel. Enough talk about making liberal talk radio happen. This liberal talk show's on fire already. And it's an article that goes on to talk about the Tom Hartman radio show. And it's a great article, and it presents Tom in a fantastic light, which means it doesn't do enough justice to him. But I really suggest at some point later on after the show, you go scope it out. If you have internet access, it's at opednews.com. And it's really a great article. I mean, if you think I'm being an obsequious little butt kisser, you should read that article. Ooh. Anyway, okay. Last night, I guess, and here's how I feel about it. All right, let me start off with this whole State of the Union address thing. When was the last time that a president of the United States got up in front of the Congress and actually gave a State of the Union address? Huh? Not in my lifetime, Bubba Louie. They have been used as political speeches. I don't watch the things anymore. I got sick of seeing some dummy standing behind a podium say three sentences, and then this whole room full of federal representatives and senators jumps up like a bunch of walruses slapping their fins going, ar. It's stupid. These guys sitting in the audience spend as much time flapping their fins and going, ar, as the moron behind the podium spends talking. They say a sentence. Ar. You know, I don't watch the things anymore. So if there's anybody out there that watched it that wants to tell me what they saw, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe this time. Maybe this time our good president George W. Bush got up there and told us the State of the Union. He got up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the State of the Union is in peril, and it is imperative you get me out of office so that we can go back to having a good State of the Union." I don't think that's what he said, though. Actually, I know that's not what he said. What I do, you know, what I do with these stupid speeches, because I know people are going to ask about them, okay? I go to the White House site the next morning, and I download the text version of the speech, and where the applause is relegated to the word applause placed between parentheses, you know, which, again, proves my point, you know. Two sentences, applause, two sentences, applause, one sentence, applause, two sentences, no, three, but they were short sentences, applause, two sentences, applause. It's sick. I don't know why anybody watches those things. What do you think George Bush is going to say? He's coming in on an election year. He's coming in on an election year. Do you think he's going to get up there and honestly say, "Look, you know, we really blew it in Iraq. Jobs are flying overseas, and we're going to import cheap labor to replace those jobs that we can't ship overseas to cheap labor economies. And, oh, by the way, you know, mercury, that deadly mercury that if you swallow it, it goes through a process in your body, ends up killing you. You know, we're in favor of companies being able to release more of that. And, oh, yeah, environment, hey, we screwed that all up for you guys. Hey, the State of the Union is great." If you happen to own Halliburton, or if you happen to be in the owning a medical supply corporation or something like that, you know, my gosh, it's okay. But I will do it. I will do it because I love Tom's audience. I love you guys. I would hug you if I could reach out. And no, don't get scared. I know right now there's a bunch of Rush Limbaugh ditto heads over in wherever that is in Michigan, sitting there listening. And they're sitting there listening going, my God, you mean somebody's going to tell us the truth? Yes. Speaking of Rush Limbaugh, have you ever seen those drug ads, you know? They drop the eggs into the frying pan. This is your brain on drugs. You know, I think of Rush Limbaugh and his OxyContin habit. And, my God, talk about a good advertisement. You know, all you got to do is play Rush Limbaugh for about 30 seconds on an ad and then say, this is your brain on drugs. That would scare everybody off drugs. But anyway, I digress. I digress totally. Okay? I'm off on somewhere else. Okay, let's see. Somebody's eating tuna fish right now. Nice mercury paste, cop. Hey, if you want to go into there is a wonderful group of people in the chat room. If you go to the tomhartman.com and click on chat room, takes you over to the chat room. Most of them are intelligent. There's a few drunks and druggies in there too, but most of them are really, really great people, and there's even some that will talk dirty to you, you know, if you're really polite about it. But I love that chat room. I myself have a nasty habit of trying to show up when I'm supposed to be working in the middle of the day. So if you got a job, tell your boss you need to take a break and go drop into the chat room. Okay. State of the Union address yesterday. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, I don't, you know what? I'm going to start right in the middle. I'm going to page 5. I have 8 printed out pages, double-sided, okay? That's how long this. Can you imagine how many went on? I mean, how many times those walruses flapped their fins and barked out their glee and joy? But I guess the one part, though, I think I should point out about audience, God, I feel so ADD today. I really do. I'm just flipping all over the place now. I got excited. I got rid of a guest. I've got the microphone, and I've got the audience, and we got callers, and manana, manana. Here's the part that I love. Yeah, he's talking about, I don't know, something about terrorists here, and I'm going to jump in the middle of a paragraph. For years, we have used similar provisions to catch embezzlers and drug traffickers. If these methods are good for hunting criminals, they are even more important for hunting terrorists. And then the next paragraph. Key provisions of the Patriot Act are set to expire next year. And apparently there was a lot of applause after that line, huh? I get the feeling. I really get the feeling that I think a lot of people like the idea of key provisions of the Patriot Act set to expire next year because there is the word applause in between parentheses right after that. And then I don't know what to make of these people, though. The terrorist threat will not expire on that schedule. Applause. What the hell are they applauding about? That's why I say, why does anybody even listen to that? It's a campaign speech and a bad one at that. All right, back to page 8. Calm down, Rama. Calm down. Page 8 on the speech. And, you know, what the heck? Your size of your font may put you on page 82. I don't know. Quoting from the State of the Union address. In 2 weeks, I will send you a budget that funds the war, protects the homeland, and meets important domestic needs, while limiting the growth in discretionary spending to less than 4%. Applause. This will require that Congress focus on priorities, cut wasteful spending. We're going to fire Halliburton. Oh, that's cool. Look, it says here in the state they're going to cut wasteful spending. We're going to bounce Halliburton out of Iraq. It's about time. Anyway, this will require that Congress focus on priorities, cut wasteful spending, and be wise with the people's money. By doing so, we can cut the deficit in half over the next 5 years. Applause! What are you morons applauding for? He brought the deficit from zero to $500 billion. Why are you applauding that he promises to do something which has no chance of happening, which is cut that stupid deficit of that Bush deficit in half? What is wrong? But that's what they do. You know, I mean, look, that's what a State of the Union address is all about. It's all about a bunch of senators and representatives playing walrus. I generally like these people, but why do they play walrus? So anyway, Bush apparently says in the State of the Union address, he's going to send a budget that funds war first, protects the homeland, and meets important domestic needs. And, oh, dear. Then we go over to the Daily Mislead, which is available at dailymisleader.org. And, well, we find out President Bush and his aides have spent the last year and a half telling the American people that the war in Iraq would cost little. A new report by Defense News, however, says the president will propose another $50 billion in addition to the $166 billion already spent. According to the Nonpartisan Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, the request won't come. Get this. The request won't come until after the November 2nd presidential election, effectively concealing the spending request from public scrutiny. That's why I don't pay any attention to that stupid campaign speech that these presidents insist on giving. Don't you people get it? They're lying to you. Well, we got some callers here we're going to get to. Ron Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Rob Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show. Welcome to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. And, you know, I tried to avoid this. I knew it was going to get my blood pressure up. I'm probably going to pop some freaking vein in my forehead. But, okay, we'll talk about the stupid State of the Union address from yesterday. And let's first turn to Billy from California. Hello, Billy. How you doing?
I'm just so bursting with pride today. You know, I just feel like I was just made so proud to be an American, so excited by this man of conviction. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by man of conviction.
Okay. Can we convict him?
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Let's begin with the conviction he had about his Moon and Mars program. And they floated the idea a few days before the State of Union. And then you heard him talk about it in the State of the Union, right?
Yeah, well, there's like, No, there's nothing there.
No, in fact, so let's see, his conviction about how great it is to spend that money to go to Mars and the Moon, as soon as someone didn't like it, it disappeared. But that's okay, because he's still a man of conviction.
But wait a minute, Billy, stop for a second now. Wait a minute, now, I'm really perplexed, okay? Because the Bushies tell us all the time that W, is not a man of polls, that he doesn't do this.
Everything that comes out of the White House is a lie, and I'll go on to discuss that.
Okay,
this man of conviction concept, let's stick with that. So the first man of conviction thing is, oh, Mars, he was really a man of conviction on that. It disappeared. As you point out, they'd all watch the polls. Okay, well, there are some convictions. I mean, Tommy Chong was convicted. Okay, so he is a man of conviction. And, another way in which he could be a man of conviction is, for example, look at a faith-based initiative. That's a beautiful way of just subverting the Constitution. Perhaps we can convict him for sedition. I listened to that last night, and I thought to myself, in Iraq we have a real problem. And at another time I want to discuss this. And the question is, and I'll put it simply like this. In Iraq, they heard us kept talking about democracy, and so now they want some. Here's the problem with Iraq. You let the democratic possibility out, and they vote to have a religious majority, and then they call off the elections from then on. That's Iraq, and that's why we can't give them one man, one vote, right?
Well, we don't really mean it. Come on, that's marketing, okay? We don't really mean it.
It's not good in Iraq for these people to want to have a religious nation, but in America he wants to make it more like Iraq and Iran. We're going to break the Constitution so we can have faith-based initiatives. Hey, thank God, marriage. We're going to amend the Constitution to protect marriage.
Thank God.
Our president is a turd.
Thank you. I feel better after knowing that because, I know there are just hordes of homosexuals and lesbians just waiting to break down the doors to my house and rend my wife and myself apart.
Well, the Pope was pretty clear on this. About 2 weeks ago, he made a speech and he said, if you're a politician and you don't vote to be cruel to homosexuals, you got a problem with your God. And you're going to be excommunicated. Again, the more that America becomes like Iraq or Iran or, how about Ireland before they allowed people to get divorced? That was a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah.
Making divorce illegal.
That's a peaceful place, too, isn't it?
This culture war is the most real thing going. And I got to tell you, between you and me, I am a lot more afraid of Christians and people like George Bush than I am Osama bin Laden and the Islamists. I am being attacked daily of having my free rights taken away so that Christians, who are the dominant religion here, are so insecure they constantly need more. Oh, by the way, speaking of more, some jerk politician put a Ten Commandments in some public place the other day. Did you hear about that?
No.
Somebody running for something.
Okay. Billy, I got to let you go. We're coming up on a break, okay? Thanks a lot for your phone call. And that point about who's in greater danger is well taken. We don't have the options against these Bushies that we have against Al-Qaeda. So, you know, it really does. It just leads to issues. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We will be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One radio journalist makes a show out of her distaste for waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Betsy Rosenberg had worked as a reporter for San Francisco radio station KCBS for over 13 years when she realized she wanted to report on more than just the day's events.
7 years ago, I decided I didn't like doing the news anymore. I'd just had a daughter and was beginning to think it was a time in my life, that it was time to give something back and do something that was more meaningful and, frankly, less depressing than fires, floods, murder, and mayhem. And it was about that time that I had my environmental awakening.
Rosenberg said she had a waste prevention gene that had always caused her to disdain garbage. Her husband urged her to ask KCBS to create an environmental radio program. It would focus on recycling, energy conservation, and other environmental issues.
And I said, well, that'll be the day. They won't go for it. And they kind of did. They couldn't argue that we didn't need something like that, but there wasn't a lot of money to pay for it, so I basically do it as a nonprofit labor of love. But I love it, and it's been 6.5 years, 1,300 original green minutes later.
Rosenberg's radio spots, called EcoTalk, focus on practical ways to live more in tune with the environment.
Don't just lip it, live it. That's what I say. It's not going to do any good to talk about it. It's how you live your life. And granted, it's not easy to be environmentally friendly in our culture, but it's becoming easier, and it's critical. I don't think there's anything more important.
EcoTalk runs 9 times a week on KCBS in the San Francisco Bay Area. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
21.
wonderful.
All right, what a wonderful world it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mean, yeah. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. And, and folks, I got to tell you, if you want a good laugh and some really intelligent people, not to mention they're just weird enough to throw out some really funny lines here and there, go to TomHartman.com, click on his chat room. I highly recommend it. By the way, you know what I noticed, too? I have forgotten to give out the phone numbers. God, I am such an amateur. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. 1-800-825-5937. And you can join the conversation. You know, that's such an amateur mistake. I feel so. God, man, I'm horrible. I suck at this. Anyway, we are talking about the singularly, that's a hard word to say, most insignificant and meaningless speech of the year. It was George Bush's campaign kickoff speech, sometimes referred to as the State of the Union. But we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about where some clown stands up in a podium in front of the joint House and Senate, and he says a sentence, and then all of our federal representatives and senators jump up and, like a bunch of walruses, clap their flippers together and go, arr! And then they say two more sentences, and they go, arr! Okay. All right. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're never factually based. I have never in my lifetime heard or read a real State of the Union address. Enough said. Let me see. Tom from Grand Rapids has something to say, though. So, Tom, come on in and make your statement.
Hi, Mr. Schneider. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, and I would just like to say it's an honor to be on Radio Free America.
Okay, good deal.
And also, the only thing I'm going to say about the State of the Union is I only watch the Rocky Horror Show once a year, and that's on Halloween night, so I did not watch it. And I would also like to talk about unions.
Okay, Tom, bring it on there, Tom.
In the 50s, when things in America were really good and everybody lived like Ozzie and Harriet,
yeah,
we had 39% union representation in this country. That's why things were so good.
Yeah.
Now the unions are down to 13% and things aren't so good.
Yeah.
And I would like to say to all my brothers and sisters out there that belong to unions or are activists in any way, keep on fighting.
Back in
the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, things weren't that hot either. People were getting their heads knocked in by the Keystone Cops, but they kept fighting because we could make things better in this country, and we have to do it again. People have been used to thinking that the company gives them holiday pay, time off, coffee breaks, lunch breaks, time and a half after 40 hours.
Right.
No, they weren't given to them. That's things that we demanded and worked and got by doing it the old-fashioned way, and that's taking it to the streets.
You know, Tom, and I really, first of all, let me ask you real quick here first, and then I have a statement for you here. But you're listening on what, WTKG there now?
12:30 a.m.
All right, cool. All right. So we're beating the crap out of Limbaugh there, I'll bet, by now. Hey, let me ask you now, because last time I subbed for Tom, I can't remember exactly what we were talking about. I think it had something to do with civil rights or civil liberties. And we had a couple older women that called in, and they were expressing the frustration, just pretty much what you were saying, that, look, these things didn't come easy. These folks, older folks, remember when you literally had to fight and put up with clubs and dogs and fire hoses in order to get what I take for granted. And you know, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you to all of you people, because I got to tell you, Tom, it's because of folks like you that I'm able to start from the level where I'm able to start from.
Yes, and I also would like to thank the people that fought before me. And to the people out there listening to this program on your audience out there, get educated. Learn about unions. Learn what they've done for this country, because the companies don't give you nothing. They'll take as much as they can take from you.
Okay. All right. So join the – start organizing and get some rights back and what they've been taking. All right, Tom, thank you very much for your phone call. And we're very happy to have you as a listener. Let's head right on down to New Mexico. Roberta. How are you
Hello.
Doing? Hi.
Oh, hi. Oh, my God, I was cut off there. Yeah, I'm originally from Minnesota, and what the former caller said, I know there's a wonderful radical history in the Midwest of union organizing, but they did take a beating. And I'm kind of wondering why, as the editor of Harper said recently, why people didn't take pipe wrenches and go into the streets when this counterfeit election took place that put the Bushkey, the son of a Bush, in power.
Yeah.
I don't know why he isn't being impeached. I think the whole clique should be, because they are guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. And
right.
Just as an aside, I want to ask you when your birthday is.
It's March 8th. Do I have to give the year?
So you're a Pisces.
You betcha. You betcha.
And I'm just doing a little. That seems seemingly trivial, but I'm doing a little survey on people who are good at organizing.
As long as you don't ask for my bank account numbers.
Speaking their candor mind, because I think that what you're doing, you and fellow in the morning, Doug something?
Stephen.
Great. Doug, yeah. You know the fellow on in IE yeah. in the morning? And you, of course, Tom and Mike Malloy, have the courage, I call the balls, to connect the dots.
Yeah.
On what is going on. But I'm here to show that not all women who call in, I know that we aren't all, but some of us, we aren't all female eunuchs. I mean, some of us can think. I didn't like the caller who came in yesterday. I thought you handled it very truthfully and honestly, nitpicking on Dean for the caller situation. You made the point very well. But I really take umbrage when women become mothers. I want to say, mother to the nation and lecture people on what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
And, Thomas Aquinas said
right.
that anger was a virtue. And, you know, not to be angry. He said it's too bad there isn't a Latin word for the, what is it, apathy, cowardice. Not to be angry when there is such gross injustice is a sin. And St. Thomas Aquinas, a theologian and intellectual of the church, said that it was such a grievous sin that it should be, it should be confessed and should be done penance. Criticisms on Howard Dean for his anger, I think, are just a red herring smokescreen. And I say, go, Howard, go. And I think you shouldn't deprecate yourself because you're... comments are very original and very warranted and very you guys are doing what the Arabs, what the Muslims believe is true about Americans. That American men have no balls.
Okay, Roberta, I really, really thank you, and you're starting to embarrass me actually. But I appreciate your statement. But we got a bunch of other callers, so if you don't mind, I'm going to let you go. And what you said had a lot of resonance. And I just want to point out before we go to the next caller, because what Roberta said about why we didn't go out into the streets with pipes and stuff after when the Bushies stole the election in 2000, people did go out in the streets in the year 2000, and they did raise hell. The only problem was it was Republicans imported to Florida to pound on the glass where they were trying to recount the votes down in Florida, and it's called the Brooks Brothers Riot, and it's well documented, it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Republican National Committee and others paid people to come in and literally have a riot to halt the counting. So what Roberta says is true. I mean, the wrong people showed up to have the riot. Unfortunately, we all followed Al Gore's advice, and we stayed calm and quiet and said, well, things will go the way they should. And they didn't. And, Roberta, your point there is very well taken. Let me head on to Jeff from Georgia. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey. Listen, I had a quick comment on the State of the Union address.
Okay.
Now, this actually does apply to the whole sort of circus that it's become, and is not necessarily a partisan affair, but it's being more and more exploited. I was watching it with a friend of mine who was from Eastern Europe, and
right.
just spontaneously, he's not a very political person.
Yeah.
This person doesn't have, strong political preferences, and, we don't talk about too much of that, but spontaneously, as they watch the reaction from the you know, from the speech and how they'd stand up and applause every, you know, 3 seconds or something. She's like, this is kind of like the Soviet days, because I remember used to watching, and every time they said something, they had to stand up and applause.
Yeah, if you were listening to Joseph Stalin, you would stand up and applaud,
well,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, actually, just following up on that, I read the story of some, back in those days, some apparatchik, you know, they're applauding at one point, you know, for like literally 11 minutes, you know, old people are falling over, their hands are bleeding and stuff, and some guy finally sits down, and at that point, everybody sits down, and that guy gets sent to the gulag. So I was wondering if there, you know, there was kind of an Ashcroft monitor of all this, you know, going on. Like, okay, or is it more Hollywood now? Does everybody get, okay, go! Okay, everybody, stop!
I, you know what, is Jeff, I would rather that it was some Ashcroft KGB-type character making them do it. But you know the truth is, I think these people do it. They do it on their own, and it's like they can't help but react as a group, as a bunch of, well, I hate to say mindless walruses, because walruses act more independently than these clowns do at the State of Union address, because they're all just, and Jeff, thank you for your phone call. We want to go on. There's other people that want to have say-so here, and so let's cruise on over to Lois from Berkeley. Hello, Lois. How are you doing today?
Hello. I'm doing okay.
Great.
I did not watch the State of the Union.
Smart lady.
I watched it not terribly attentively, but I did see briefly that I saw Hillary Clinton. I think it was she, and I think her hair was uppercut or something, and she had a very grave look on her face, and I'll ask other people what that means. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Lois. You know, Lois brings up a really, really good point there. I am sure if you turn on any of the stupid cable news network shows, any of them, and I'll tell you what, I used to think it was just fall news. But now, you know, it's MSNBC, it's CNN, it's all of these cable news networks are so freaking stupid. And, notice the word I use, okay? I'm keeping everybody clean here and free and clear of getting sued or in trouble with the government. But they're all, I'm sure all these right-wing wackos are going to be like, oh, yes, and did you see Hillary's hair? She had 3 hairs out of place, and she was looking serious, and she wouldn't clap. What does that mean? I think it means she's really running for president in 2004. That's got to be it. Yeah, no, Lois has a really good point there. It's absolutely amazing. It's entertaining, you know. It really is an entertaining world. All right, let's go back. Okay, so we know that Bush is going to submit a budget. Right, Bush is going to submit a budget that limits discretion. You know, the government has grown under these whole Bush administration. I'll bet it's grown more than under Roosevelt. I don't look at the figures on that, so I don't honestly know, but I wouldn't be surprised. Because remember, Roosevelt introduced the whole New Deal program, so government would have, in a good way, would have expanded fairly quickly. I'll bet under Bush, in a bad way, the government has just, it's like blowing up a balloon. And you know what happens when you blow up a balloon long enough, don't you? It goes kablooey, and it collapses, and then you ain't got no more balloon. I want my country back. All right, Philip from Florida pouring out into the streets in protest. Come on, what you got to say, Philip?
Okay, I just heard you talk about when they were doing the recount and those goons were pounding on the doors.
Yeah, the Brooks Brothers riot.
All right. The people who were behind those doors used, the poorest judgment possible.
Yep.
They should have gotten on the telephone, and they should have called the police department and said that we're being attacked by a mob, and we need you to get here immediately. It's an emergency. And they didn't do it.
Philip, you raise a fantastic point. They rolled over, and I got taken to task in the chat room for using the female gender here. They rolled over like a subservient dog and showed their soft underbelly, and the Republicans savaged them.
They use poor judgment at best.
Yeah.
At best.
Yeah. Well, I think they use criminal judgment. I think everybody did, because you know what? It's against the federal law to interfere with a federal election.
Of course. And for them not to call the police department is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, what were they thinking? The police are not working today. It's an off day for them.
Well, maybe they would.
Telephones don't reach to the police department.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have to tell you, it's a generalization, but I live in Florida, and I can tell you that a lot of people who work for county government, you know, are working for county government because they couldn't get a job flipping hamburgers at McDonald's because they weren't smart enough.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Philip.
All right.
Point well taken, and thank you very much for that input from Florida. Storm from Southern Illinois. Now, a storm, God, that's a great name. Why don't I have that name? Why have I stuck with Schmucky Rama? Storm, we're going to come up on a break, and it's probably going to be right as you start talking. So if you just hold on after the break, you can come on and talk, okay?
I shall do that.
All right, and just give me a moment here because, you know, the guy is so right about that Florida bit because they did. And if you have internet access, go to google.com and type in Brooks Brothers Riot. And it's amazing just how much information is available about a blatant violation of the federal law that helped to steal the elections of 2000. That was not an honest election. And we should not forget. We should not put it behind us. And, my God, we should just, State of the Union address. I'm still looking at me. I feel sick. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We'll be right back with Storm from Illinois right after this.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show. I am Rama Schneider, sitting in for Mr. Tom Hartman, who I'm sure is being tortured this very moment, being given the White House spin on yesterday's opening speech of the campaign of George W. Bush. I guess this is going to be it for the State of the Union now as far as discussing it. We got Storm from Illinois. Storm, you got a couple of minutes. You got the last word on the State of the Union today.
Two quick items here, last night's speech, I tuned in just long enough to see how many female walruses were wearing red.
How many?
And secondly, on Limbaugh's illegal drug problem, I believe the federal prosecutors should just invoke the Patriots Act and break into all those doctors' offices about midnight and seize all of Limbaugh's records, and then they'd have just what they need.
Oh, yeah, well.
Limbaugh probably agrees with the Patriots Act anyway, don't you think?
As far as I know, he's been a big booster of that. You know what I really love about that, Storm? I am helping Rush Limbaugh's defense. I mean, the poor, poor, poor man. He doesn't have the money to do it. So my ACLU, who he regularly savaged
right
on his program, and I, you know what? This is how sick I am, though, Storm. I approve of that. The reason I give the ACLU is to stick up for principle and not idiots.
Well, I agree with that, too. But Patriots Act's the way to go, don't you think?
I think that's a great idea. And, Storm, you can't leave us hanging. How many had red on?
I counted 27, but then they kept moving the cameras around. I might have counted some of them twice, and I might have missed some. But that's the only interest I had in the whole affair.
Reading, I'll tell you, it's much better just to read it because you understand just how stupid it really is. And I want to thank you for your call, Storm.
Yep.
Thank you very much. It's amazing that these people gather together to pretend that we're really hearing about the State of the Union. And you know what occurred to me? Wait, I'm going to go back through it at the top of the hour break, although I don't want to necessarily get. We got a guest, and it's a really great guest. We're going to be talking about Venezuela the next hour. But I don't remember seeing the words, "The State of the Union is..." I'll have to look back. It could be I skim past them because I skim, you know, I skim until I find, look at things that look pretty interesting. So, but, that is like the State of the Union. The State of the Union address is worse television than the World Poker Tour. You know that? I mean, I didn't think there was anything worse, but there is that. It's amazing that all these people go and poor Tom was forced to go down. I mean, poor guy, screaming, kicking all the way down. He's going to be back tomorrow, though, Thomas. And so you get back to some intelligent discussion. Rama Schneider filling in for Tom Hartman. You will.
Exactly where I am, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The reviews are in on George W. Bush's State of the Union address, and they overwhelmingly point out that the content of speech didn't exactly square with reality. The New York Times was quick to point out that the speech, which is by tradition nonpartisan, amounted to not much more than a kickoff to his 2004 election campaign. The Associated Press analysis notes that much of what Bush proposed in the speech will be hampered by the specter of quickly rising deficits. Other reports point out that Bush's comments on unemployment, the economy, and the situation in Afghanistan stand at odds with the reality on the ground, and that complex realities were often boiled down into simplified rhetoric. Bush's address was delivered against the backdrop of a Washington Post-ABC News poll showing that more Americans trust Democrats to effectively handle looming domestic issues. And notably absent in the speech was last week's announcement of Bush's Mars initiative. The Baltimore Sun said in an editorial that the lack of mention was due to the fact that the idea did not fare well with focus groups. Democratic reaction to the speech was swift and harsh. Wesley Clark, a leading presidential hopeful, compared the administration to the axis of evil, a phrase Mr. Bush coined himself in a previous address to describe states threatening the United States. Senator John Kerry, meanwhile, fresh from a surprise victory in Monday's Iowa Democratic caucus, accused Mr. Bush of doing nothing while the U.S. lost more jobs than at any time since the Great Depression in 1929. And House of Representatives Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi said in the Democrats' official reply to his speech that Mr. Bush had led the U.S. into war in Iraq based on unproven assertions and incurred huge costs now being met by American taxpayers. A missile landed in the sprawling U.S. compound in central Baghdad late Tuesday, a U.S. spokesman said. Officials were investigating a report that one person was wounded. The projectile, believed to be a rocket, hit near the Al-Rashid Hotel, said the spokesman, speaking on condition of anonymity. The missile caused a loud explosion heard as far as 2 miles away at about 9:30 p.m., and immediately sirens were activated in the compound known as the Green Zone. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A tiny Scottish firm has teamed up with a U.S. company to start the first industrial-scale production in America of Scotland's national dish, haggis. The partners believe the joint venture with a Chicago-based food processor can move 300,000 tins of the offal-based delicacy in its first year. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
One reason we know that Saddam Hussein is a bad guy, as George W. so eloquently describes him, is that George himself has told us again and again that in the 1980s, old Saddam engaged in the horror of chemical warfare against the Kurds in his own country and against the Iranians. This is inhumane, Bush noted, so that's why the American government needed to oust Saddam and take over Iraq. But which government was it that had helped build up Saddam's military and had winked at the very chemical weapons that the Bush administration now condemns? Yes, the American government, then headed by Ronald Reagan. And which American official was sent to Iraq back then to give Saddam a hug and assure him that a little poisonous gas wouldn't get in the way of the warm, fuzzy feelings that our government had for him? Donald Rumsfeld, now the Pentagon chief, who has also been wailing about how awful Saddam was to use those nasty weapons. Newly released documents from the National Security Archive show that, because of American, quote, business interests in Iraq, the Reagan government wanted Saddam to win his ongoing war against Iran. But in 1984, world leaders began to criticize Saddam's almost daily use of poisonous gas against the Kurds and Iranians, and, under pressure, the U.S. was forced to issue a public condemnation of this use. But documents show that Rumsfeld was secretly dispatched in 84 to tell Saddam that our condemnation was strictly about the general principle of anyone using such weapons, not specifically about his gassing of Kurds and Iranians. And, wink, wink, that our government's top priority was not to stop the gassing, but, quote, preventing an Iranian victory. In short, Rumsfeld told Saddam to do what he had to do and pay no mind to the U.S.'s public pronouncements about the horror of chemical warfare. This is Jim Hightower saying, today's feigned outrage looks silly in light of yesterday's complicity in the horror.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Yeah, no, I am not Tom. Forget that. No, I am Rama. I'm Rama Schneider. I'm sitting in for Tom Hartman today. Tom Hartman will be back tomorrow. And if you want to take part in the show, it's 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. This is the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show, and it's brought to you by Small Dog Electronics at 1-800-511-MAX. That's Max as in Macintosh, 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECO-WINE. E-C-O-W-I-N-E. E. And Char, what you're asking me on the screen, no. I have no way to do what you're asking me to do right now. You know, board ops, ladies. I'm talking to the board op, ladies and gentlemen. And wonderfully talented people, but it's just sometimes they just expect too much from us poor, pitiful little hosts. I mean, I have no job qualifications, okay? I have no qualifications at all. None of, that's why I do radio. I can't do anything. I got fired from sweeping floors, and that was in my own house. You know, in California years ago when I was 18, I got fired out of my house. I was out there with my sister, and I got fired from my own sister's house because I wouldn't take out the garbage, and I ended up having to go in the Army for like 7.5 years. Yeah, I fooled them. Find your spine, Rama, says Trisha from the message board. By the way, if you want to go in the chat room, that's not the message board. That's a chat room. You want to go in the chat room, really, really, really great, smart people in there. Well, what do? You go to TomHartman.com, and you click on where it says chat room. And also, if you click on where it says message board, it's a lot of fun stuff there, too. They really, some. You know what? One of the great things about doing this radio show, I got to tell you quite simply, is that the listenership is smart. They're not always well informed. Sometimes I got to correct them a lot, but that's my job. I'm kind of like the patronly figure here, you know, guiding them down so they don't make the wrong decisions. It's kind of like you know how it is. Anyway. Here's a quote for today. Tom always likes to give a quote for today. No, this is a real quote, okay? I'm laughing at myself here. The greatest economic injustice we face today is how we're using deficit spending to mortgage our children's future. That's by me. I'm quoting myself and giving it to you as a quote. And it's actually, you know, I say that since 1962, we have paid over $8 trillion on a national debt. And that's interest, $8 trillion. Okay. I was delighted. I'm reading from an email here now. yes, Char, that's okay with me. I was delighted, therefore, when I traveled with others from the Trans-Africa Forum to celebrate King's birthday in Caracas, Venezuela. I'm reading from an email. This isn't something I did. We went with Minister of Education Aristobulo Esteras, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Anyway, they went with Minister of Education Aristobulo Esteras to open a school named after King. It's among more than 3,000 Bolivarian schools created since Hugo Chavez became Venezuela's president in 1999. The schools open all day, provide two meals and a snack to poor children. There's also a new Bolivarian university, Bolivarian, which increases higher education's availability, especially to poorer students. Remember, folks, I'm talking about Venezuela here. Further, more than 1 million adults have taken literacy classes in the past 2 years. Chavez has taken his message for economic justice from Venezuela to the whole of Latin America. He opposes a free trade agreement for the Americas and suggests that a development fund be established to help poor Latin American countries withstand economic oscillations and eliminate poverty. Not surprisingly, Chavez and George W. Bush have clashed because of their different views of Latin American economic development. Chavez, for instance, appropriately described National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice as illiterate. Well, we knew that. About Latin American politics and economics. Well, she's illiterate about a lot more. Anyway, many middle and upper class Venezuelans chafe at Chavez's leadership and support a recall initiative now underway. But with poverty in double digits, it's hard to quibble with the way Chavez has embraced poor Venezuelans and focused on eliminating poverty through education. In some ways, more than our own government has done here in the United States of America. And on that note, I want to stop and welcome Ava. Ava, will you please say your last name for me so I don't embarrass myself?
Sure, it's Gollinger.
Gollinger. Okay, thank you. That's what I was going to say, but, you know, I have a habit of embarrassing myself.
That's fine.
And Ava is here. She's actually from the officially the VenezuelaAnalysis.com. It's a website that deals with news and news analysis, correct?
Yes.
And I got hold, and she was of some people. I was looking for somebody to talk to me about Venezuela, and Ava was nice enough to respond. Now, let me explain to you folks real quick, and then Ava, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself, but let me explain real quick, folks, why I think we should notice Venezuela. Venezuela has oil. That's right. O-I-L. That's why we should notice Venezuela. We know what the Bush administration did in Iraq for oil. And we know that the Bush administration is trying to spread around lies about connections to terrorism, and I'm sure they'll get around to some sort of a weapon of mass destruction down in Venezuela sooner or later. And we also know, and Ava can tell us about this, I hope, too, that the Bush administration assisted that short-lived attempted coup that occurred in Venezuela a couple of years ago. And that's why it's important. Now, if you have questions or comments for Ava as we get along here, you can call in at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Ava, thank you very much for coming on. And I apologize. The miscommunication screw-up is mine. I haven't looked at my email since much earlier this morning. So, the fault is mine, and I really appreciate you doing a double step and being willing to fill in. So thank you and welcome aboard, and introduce yourself as you want to be known.
Well, thank you for giving us this space on the show to discuss what's happening in Venezuela. And I really appreciate this opportunity. And, let's see, I'm a correspondent for VenezuelaAnalysis.com, which is an English language site on the web providing daily information about what's happening in Venezuela. And I suggest that everyone check it out if you're interested in finding out really current events in Venezuela. And also, we have some good editorial and opinion pieces on there that provide sort of a more historical context.
Let me just interject. For the last several days, I've been scoping it out fairly closely. And, yes, everything you say is true. It's a great site, chock full of information. Carry on.
Thank you. I'm also executive director of the Venezuela Solidarity Group in New York City, and we're forming a national Venezuela Solidarity Network throughout the United States. So people who are interested can also, I'll just throw this in now, can email at vscny@yahoo.com.
That was VSP?
VSC, like Venezuela Solidarity Committee, NY, as in New York, at yahoo.com.
At yahoo.com, okay.
Yeah. For more information about the Solidarity Group and how to get involved in what's happening in Venezuela, how to, be a part of the Solidarity Movement in the United States to support the new social programs and advances in Venezuela, and also to provide a showing of solidarity in the event of any type of further U.S. aggression towards Venezuela.
Now, do we have to be Venezuelan to join up?
Of course not, no. We're looking for, the widest support possible in the United States. And there's a lot of interesting things going on in Venezuela that appeal to different sectors of communities in the United States.
Yeah. Okay, so let me, before I start, depending on what questions I ask will depend on how much time you actually have to spend with us. So do you have about a half hour or
sure,
maybe
as
less?
Much time as you need?
Oh, okay, great. So let me start with this because, we all know Venezuela is somewhere down there, and it's somewhere down there. And I happen to know where it is located on a map because I love geography and stuff. But can you give us a 1 or 2 minute synopsis of Venezuelan history, how the country came about and how it got to the point where it is? Is that possible?
Sure. As much as I can provide.
Well, real quick.
Not a historian, so there's my disclaimer. Venezuela is the port of South America. It is the tip of the continent, and, of course, it borders the Caribbean. Venezuela is a country of many different climates. It's got the Caribbean, it's got Amazon, it has desert, it's also the beginning of the Andean mountain range, which is the beautiful city of Mérida, where my family is from. And we've also got tabletop mountains, the largest waterfalls in the world, It's a beautiful country. It also happens to have tremendous oil reserves. And
yes.
Just briefly, I'll do more recent history. I mean, Venezuela has
please.
This... Yes?
Yeah, please. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, Venezuela, I mean, in terms of historically has sort of shares the history of all of the Americas, you know, in terms of the indigenous population that was wiped out and, you know, massive genocide committed and resources were exploited and all that went on happening for hundreds of years. But recent history, Venezuela's democracy began in about 1961 after the fall of the dictator, the last dictator, Perez Jimenez. And during the 60s and 70s, the oil industry was developed. It was always a national industry in Venezuela because they're national resources. And the 70s and 80s were a time of great prosperity, early 80s in Venezuela. Pretty much widespread, massive sharing of the national wealth of the oil industry. And the industry covered all internal expenses, infrastructure, education, healthcare, all those types of things throughout those decades. Of course, in the mid-80s, towards later 80s, it was the period of greed everywhere. And so those
yeah.
national resources began to be corrupted and exploited in sort of a privatized way. I mean, there was a move towards privatizing the national oil industry. There was also tremendous corruption in the governments and in the political system in Venezuela. And in 1989, while Carlos Andrés Pérez was president, this was the second term for him. He had been president earlier on in Venezuela.
This is going to be pretty clumsy, Ava, because we're coming up on a hard break for a commercial. So I'm going to ask you to stop, hold that thought, and then when we come back from the commercial break, to carry on. And Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show?
There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Mr. Hartman, and I'm going to just use ESP. My bet is right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm willing to bet anything that Tom is sitting somewhere like in an airport drinking wine. I don't know why I get that flash. Anyway, on the phone with us is Ava Gollinger. She's with VenezuelaAnalysis.com. And Ava, when we left, you were in the period of greed, and I wasn't sure if you were talking about the United States or Venezuela, but if we could wrap up the history bit a little bit, because now I want to get on to some of the, the clashes of affairs here, okay?
Sure, of course.
I was dragging you out there.
Well, no, just to lead in, it's actually important just to put it into the context of where we are today. It goes
right.
1989 in Venezuela, when this new president was elected, he ran on a platform saying he wouldn't implement a neoliberal agenda, and as soon as he got into office, that's what he did. So he began to threaten the privatization of everything, particularly the oil industry, and there was mass rioting and protests in Venezuela and Caracas. There was a massive riot that resulted in the killing of more than 2,000 people, citizens, by the police forces of the government. And that sort of set the stage for a new period in Venezuela where the people were crying out for some change and to root out the corruption. And this president, Carlos Andrés Pérez, was later impeached. Well, then he ran and from justice in Venezuela and is currently residing in the United States.
I was going to say he's going to be living here now. We are the collection of brutal dictators,
right.
Creeps, criminals, and other freaks.
Yes. So, but before he left, actually, in 1992, our President Chavez now led a attempted coup against him, and
right.
That failed, and he was imprisoned for 2 years.
Chavez comes from the military, right?
Chavez is a military man, yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go on.
That's okay. And so that was the first time that he was noticed on a national level. And the people actually were very sympathetic to him. He went on television and took responsibility for what had happened. And it was one of the first times that any public figure took responsibility for any of their actions. So for that, Chavez gained a lot of respect. And then sort of a movement around him began building up, and he was pardoned 2 years later by the president at that time, who was Rafael Caldera. And then after that period, Chavez began sort of building up a wide support base, and even though he didn't have his own political party when he ran in 1998, sort of parties around, the smaller parties and other groups just backed him. And
right.
The two traditional parties, which they had in Venezuela, similar to the United States, lost. And they had held power for the 40-year reign of democracy in Venezuela. So it was a tremendous defeat for these two traditional parties. It would be as though, the Green Party or some other party were to just wipe out the Republicans and Democrats.
Boy, you had me until you mentioned the Green Party and Ralph Nader, but that's all right. Carry on anyway.
Well, or some other party that...
Go Mr. Chavez. I'll put it that way.
Okay. In any event, it was a major change in Venezuela. And Chavez, in 1998, was elected by an overwhelming majority of voters. And one of his first measures was to sort of redraft the Constitution of Venezuela, which we, again, have to understand in the United States that it's not the same as the U.S. Constitution, which, you know, is a couple hundred years old. I mean, this is a constitution that was just drafted and passed in 1961 in Venezuela, was their first
right.
democratic constitution. So
right.
This new constitution that Chavez promoted and was generated an idea of in his campaign was accepted amongst the people. It was actually a very interesting process that happened in Venezuela, that people, voters, elected individuals to participate in a constitutional assembly. They then drafted this constitution. It was then put to a referendum and was voted in by over 70% of registered voters. So
that sounds like democracy, and that's not fair.
Participatory democracy.
Let me. We're going to stop. We got to stop. Take another break, and then when we come back, we'll have a little bit longer stretch to go on. And I really, I want to get to the point where, you know, the U.S. tried to get rid of Chavez.
Yeah.
and everybody wanted it back, and manana. So we'll get to all that. We also got callers on the that want to talk to you too. So. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One radio journalist makes a show out of her distaste for waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Betsy Rosenberg had worked as a reporter for San Francisco radio station KCBS for over 13 years when she realized she wanted to report on more than just the day's events.
7 years ago, I decided I didn't like doing the news anymore. I just had a daughter and was beginning to think it was a time in my life that it was time to give something back and do something that was more meaningful and, frankly, less depressing than fires, floods, murder, and mayhem. And it was about that time that I had my environmental awakening.
Rosenberg said she had a waste prevention gene that had always caused her to disdain garbage. Her husband urged her to ask KCBS to create an environmental radio program. It would focus on recycling, energy conservation, and other environmental issues.
And I said, well, that'll be the day. They won't go for it. And they kind of did. They couldn't argue that we didn't need something like that, but there wasn't a lot of money to pay for it, so I basically do it as a nonprofit labor of love. But I love it, and it's been 6.5 years, 1,300 original green minutes later.
Rosenberg's radio spots, called EcoTalk, focus on practical ways to live more in tune with the environment.
Don't just lip it, live it. That's what I say. It's not going to do any good to talk about it. It's how you live your life. And granted, it's not easy to be environmentally friendly in our culture, but it's becoming easier, and it's critical. I don't think there's anything more important.
EcoTalk runs 9 times a week on KCBS in the San Francisco Bay Area. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament?
How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, God, I'm going to interrupt Clint Eastwood. That's horrible. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Welcome to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's Max as in Macintosh. 1-800-511-6227, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECO-WINE. On the phone with us, gracious enough to take some time out of her very busy day, is Ava Gollinger from VenezuelaAnalysis.com. It's a new site dealing with Venezuelan issues. Extremely impressive, and Ava, I want to thank you for being here. We're going to, I guess, switch formats, because I got some callers. They want to talk to you. Excuse me, and they won't forgive me if I don't let them get a chance to talk. So we're probably going to end up flipping around from subject to subject here, but before we do, we will save the last 5 minutes to talk about the coup and what's going on now. I promise. If that doesn't come up, we will get to that. Before I get to my callers, though, Ava, I got two questions for you. I just want to confirm. I had one gentleman in our chat room who is very knowledgeable about this affairs. He said, Venezuela is number 6 in oil production in the world. Is that true?
Well, you know, that figure seems to jump around. At times it's number 3, sometimes it's number 4. I haven't heard number 6, but...
Oh. So it's up there.
It's in the top 5.
And somebody else said Venezuela doesn't have a debt with the United States. Is that true?
Venezuela has a foreign debt.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what they're referring to.
I think maybe they're wondering, it's so often like we send all these super expensive military equipment to countries that they can't afford to keep them eternally in debt to us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically kowtow to whatever the United States wants to say. Okay, enough for me for a moment. And Ava, do you mind taking a few phone calls here?
Sure.
This is great, because I'll tell you, we have the most intelligent radio listeners in the world listen to this program. Not because of me, it's because of Tom. Tom Hartman's normally the one on the show. But let's start with Brian from Manchester. Brian, how you doing, and what's your question?
Hi. I wanted to say to the lady there, President Chavez, he represents the indigenous people in Venezuela, that they're gaining power, and he was popularly elected. He's a sign of that in Venezuela, and that I like to know, the oil strike, they just gone through the 64-day oil strike that was organized in December and January by corporate opposition leaders. Would you say that is Hugo Chavez, is he popular amongst the average oil worker union member of the oil workers in Venezuela?
Okay.
Is he
just
respected leader?
Right. Chavez represents the wider class and people of Venezuela, not just indigenous. I mean, he comes from mixed blood, as most Venezuelans do.
Okay.
And he's given voice to indigenous people, which is the first time ever in Venezuelan history that that's happened. And there are indigenous representatives in the Congress, and the Constitution includes a whole article dedicated to indigenous rights, and they've already passed legislation. So in that sense, he's provided a tremendous platform for the indigenous population in Venezuela. At the same time, it's a 2% of the population, just to clarify, in Venezuela, the indigenous people. And the oil strike took place last year.
Right.
2002 into 2003.
Right.
And it was a managerial shutout. I mean, I shouldn't even call it an oil strike. It was imposed upon the oil workers.
Now, that's really interesting, if I can interrupt, because,
we
got coverage in the United States. It was a strike. It was a popular uprising against the evil communist pig Chavez.
Well, that's, I mean, one of the key points about what's been going on in Venezuela is that the media have a monopoly on information in Venezuela. All the private channels are owned by corporations and individuals that lead the opposition movement.
There's a lot of information on this at gregpalace.com, too, Ravi, if I would like to say. It's in spite of this, that this man has very popular leadership. This Bolivarian revolution is a popular revolution, right, in Venezuela. He's not at all a... You might be able to call Mr. Castro a dictator, but this man is a democratically elected leader of his country.
All right, Brian, I want to thank you for your phone call. We have other people, too, that want to get on. So do you want to comment on his last statement, though?
Yes, definitely. Chavez does enjoy widespread support in Venezuela, and what's going on is something that the people of Venezuela are participating in on a daily basis, and that's one of the major transformations of the political process in Venezuela, is that this is what we call a participatory democracy, not a representative democracy, but rather the people are physically participating in the daily changes that are occurring in Venezuela. And the programs that are being implemented by the Chavez administration are, you know, social programs that are going to sort of redistribute wealth in Venezuela, its own national wealth that belongs to the state, and to create, you know, to reduce poverty and to create a more... like an equilibrium in terms of the access to education, to healthcare, to, you know, resources, technology, jobs, those types of things. That's
Ava,
what's going on.
Ava, you know, when you're talking and the way that you're sounding is all I can sit here and wonder how the hell Venezuela ended up with the first world government that cares about its people, and we end up with some tin-horn third world dictator sitting in our White House. It's blown my mind, because I listen to you and what I read about Venezuela, and you know, apparently Mr. Chavez isn't perfect, but he cares about the people. I mean, what went wrong in Venezuela? How was it that somebody that really cared about people and about poverty, about education, How did he get the power? What went wrong?
Well, I guess people were tired and sick of the corruption and the greedy presidents of the past and the administrations. And, I mean, lucky enough, at the very same time that people were fed up with what they had, along came Chavez, who was offering a very attractive alternative. And it's actually more, I think, than anyone could have asked for or expected. Generally, the idea was Venezuelans tend to be skeptics, and since you know, they're used to being they're used to having corrupt governments. So no one thought that Chavez would actually get to implement all these programs he talked about during his campaign, and that things would actually turn around so much, and that the people would actually really be involved in what's going on. So, and there's tremendous support in Venezuela for the process that's happening. Tremendous support.
Now. Boy, I got to tell you. Yeah, actually, folks, we're talking to Ava Gollinger from VenezuelaAnalysis.com. She's also Venezuela. She's with the group Venezuela National Solidarity. And if you want more information about that, it's there. They're actively looking for more membership. You can get a hold of more information at VSCNY@yahoo.com. Now, if I was in the Army still, I would say Victor Sierra Charlie November Yankee at yahoo.com. Let's head on over to Paul from Detroit has a question for you, I guess, about doctors or something. Hey, Paul, what you got?
Hello, Ava and Rama. I'm aware that the medical school in Cuba is highly respected throughout South America. And for the common good of the all the people of Venezuela, how is President Chavez's program coming along for training new Venezuelan medical doctors in Cuba?
Well, it's great. I mean, the exchanges taking place right now in terms of the medical industry between Venezuela and Cuba are having tremendous benefits to the Venezuelan people. I'm not sure exactly of how many doctors are being educated in Cuba. I know that they provide those programs to many countries around the world. The other wonderful exchange that's taking place is a program in Venezuela called Barrio Adentro, inside the barrio or the poor neighborhoods. And Cuban doctors have offered their time and efforts to go into Venezuela and service poor communities that Venezuelan doctors wouldn't even service. So that there's recently in the past, since this program was initiated about 6 months ago, more than 2 million people have received medical attention in Venezuela. There's people in poor neighborhoods getting medical attention in their homes who have never had it in their entire lives. And this we owe to this great exchange with the Cuban medical industry.
This is a great example for both South America and North America, and I appreciate your answer.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much for your phone call. Yeah, I mean, I'm just so totally amazed because what Mr. Chavez is doing down there, I mean, we are literally struggling and clawing and fighting to get done up here. All right, I want to move over to this attempted coup, but I guess maybe the first thing to start with, because you mentioned about the oil strike that wasn't a strike, was actually more of a management lockout. Yeah, Ava. And by the way, anybody else has any questions here? 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Who owns, what's the ownership of the oil industry in Venezuela today, and where is it headed towards?
Well, there's a state-owned oil company, which is owned by the government of Venezuela. And what was happening was that prior to Chavez, as I mentioned before, they were beginning the process of privatizing the state-owned oil industry, which is, I mean, even in the new constitution now, it specifies that even private investors in the Venezuelan oil industry will own maximum 49%. The state will retain 51%. So it's a natural resource, and that's really what provides the income for Venezuela. That's primary industry, and it's only industry that's generating enough funds to sort of, you know, fund their economy and provide for social resources and needs in Venezuela. So the oil industry was in the hands still, even once Chavez was in office, of the executives that were managing it before he became president. And it was corrupted, of course. 80% of the profits, instead of going to the government for social programs and needs, were going into the pockets of oil industry executives. So only 20% were actually making it into the government to, you know, for infrastructure. And that's part of why poverty rose to about 80% in Venezuela during the period of the late 80s to the late 90s. When Chavez won office, there was 80% poverty. And this is in a nation.
When you talk, Ava, let me stop you there, because I get the feeling we're talking about something different when we say poverty here and when you say poverty down in Venezuela. Am I correct on that?
Well, I'm talking about poverty, people living in tin shacks.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. When we talk about poverty, you only got one old car, you got a color television.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, certainly, poverty in Venezuela, you don't have a credit card.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the point I'm trying to get across
right.
to people.
When you're a poor person in Venezuela, you can't just get everything on credit.
You're
it just
dirt
means you
poor.
Have nothing.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going with where you were at, if you can.
Well, it's true. I mean, and there was a great disparity of wealth. And here we had these oil industry executives taking all these profits that actually belong to the state. So
right.
One of the initiatives that Chavez took prior to the coup, actually, was to revamp the oil industry, the state-owned industry, which is called PDVSA, Petroleros de Venezuela, which is Petroleum
okay.
of Venezuela. And so he was going to change the executive board, since this is the company that's owned by the government, it's in his right to do so. And once that proposal was made and that took place, well, subsequently a coup happened. And then after the coup, I mean, it's also tied into other factors. But to, you know, jump to the strike part, those same people were reinstated in a reconciliatory measure made by the Chavez government. And what happened was they again tried to oust him by this forced sort of shut down in the oil industry, where equipment was sabotaged, buildings were closed, you know, access codes were changed, all kinds of things took place with machinery and operations inside the industry itself, so that the functioning of the refineries was sabotaged. And it was incredible. I was actually there during that time, and the massive lack of oil getting to the Venezuelan people was just astonishing. There were gas lines 5 miles long. People spend Christmas Eve sleeping in their cars in a gas line in a country that's, you know, third or fourth largest exporter of oil in the world. And this is something that went on for 64 days and through the Christmas holidays. And at the same time, the media campaign so intensified that literally all programming was canceled in Venezuela on the television, the private stations, and they just showed 24-hour coverage of the strikes, of opposition speeches, propagandas to oust Chavez, violent images, all kinds of things. I mean, it was it was a very intense time in Venezuela, and the amazing thing is that we made it through that, and that everything is thriving in Venezuela.
Well, that's what the impression I got now from the news reports. And by the way, Shar, I lost the messenger thingy there. So if you have anything you need me to know, you're going to have to tell me in my ears. That was for the people doing the production. It went reading in the papers that it was a popular revolt against the coup that brought Mr. Chavez back in very short order, right?
Oh yes, definitely. It was about a 48-hour period. You know what went down on April 11, 2002 was a pre-planned sort of uprising in the streets of opposition members that were backed by this high military command, and they just sort of took over and in a violent way, an aggressive way. They kidnapped Chavez and took over the palace. And within 48 hours, the people had poured out into the streets and showed so much support for Chavez that they went running from the opposition leaders, coup leaders, went running from the presidential palace in fear and got out of there and realized that the military had, in fact, turned on them and was backing Chavez. There's a great documentary film, if people haven't seen it yet, called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, made by two Irish filmmakers who were doing a documentary about Chavez prior to the coup and just happened to be there during the coup. So there's a lot of insider footage on what happened during that brief time period, and just goes in, it shows in depth, you know, the people's reaction and sort of just what happened, the sniper shooting, because it was all sort of a planned effort to make it look as though the Chavez government was responsible for the violence happening in the streets, and that's why the coup took place, and that it was justified because Chavez government was killing its own people, when in fact it was the opposition.
Ava, at this point, I gotta say thank you very much for coming on the air and talking to us about this. And we could go on all day, but we're coming up on a hard break. I'm going to let you go now, because when we come back, it's just going to be for a few minutes. And
sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So much. Bye-bye. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. I'm Rama Schneider filling in for Tom. You are listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. As a matter of fact, we have an international audience, literally. Anyway, Tom Hartman, a radio program, has been brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. Many, 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 many thanks to Char Jones on the board in Michigan. She is such a professional. She saves me from sounding totally stupid. You know what else saved me from sounding totally stupid is the fact I still got like three or four jokes here, you know, over there. I ain't going to tell them. That saves me. Whew. I was afraid I might end up using them, but no. Good. Listening to Avid Gollinger of Venezuela Analysis talk about Chavez and Venezuela and some of the stuff, I could have gone, I got a whole stack of things here. You know, that's a government that actually tries to use its natural resources to look out for its people. I mean, perish the thought. No wonder we want to oust the bastard. How dare him when there's perfectly... Well, there's needy corporate executives that need multi-million dollar salaries, and this pig Chavez is busy using the oil money to pay for programs for poor people, education and doctors and food and crap like that. Who the hell? God, let's invade the country. We can always say there's weapons of mass destruction. It doesn't matter if we find them or not, because afterwards we'll say, well, the world's safer without Cesar Chavez. Well, it's not Cesar Chavez. He's a, no, that was a guy from California. Man, But anyway, the world will certainly be safer without some tin horn democratically elected South American leader who actually cares about his people. We can't have that. Or the other end is to get rid of the Bushes. That's a thought. I don't know, you know. You know what struck me, though, is she was talking about the popularity of the revolt against the coup that quickly brought Mr. Chavez back and reinstated him back in office. And what a caller from Florida, I believe it was Philip from Florida, had said, you know, we were talking about the Brooks Brothers riot and stuff. We need a riot to get our country back in 2000. Now we need to make sure we get it back in 2004. It's our country. It doesn't belong to Halliburton and the Bushes and Cheney. It belongs to us. And we're allowed to take it back. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. Hugs and kisses to everybody. I'm out of here. Tom will be back tomorrow. Bye.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Banjila mm-hmm. is right, like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets.